Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Our speaker today is a PhD in transpersonal psychology. He's a Feldenkrais trainer, also a practitioner of Aikido and meditation. His primary focus has been on training teachers on the Feldenkrais method. And he's sustaining an extensive private practice on this. So please welcome to our lovely guest today, Jeff Hallard. Jeff, please, the public is yours.
Oh, thank you so much. It would be great if those of you that are on the screen, Athena and Carolina and ES, it would be great if you guys could turn your cameras on. It's not so great to just look at all the cameras turned off. So if you want to be on the screen, please turn your cameras on, sir. That would be helpful. So it's very nice to be here. The topic that I'm speaking on today is it's a funny topic, actually. It's seeking chi through the Feldenkrais method. And I thought I would do this by telling you a little story about Moshe Feldenkrais in the beginning. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Moshe, but I had the great good pleasure of training with him personally while he was still alive. So I trained with him from 1980 through 1983. I had 6 weeks of time that I spent with him in his home in Israel in the late summer of 1983. He was a formidable judo man, not to mention that he had a PhD in electrical engineering and physics. He was one of the first people to study judo, and he used judo, not judo, but he learned self-defense early on, because when he moved from Russia in 1918, he moved from Russia in 1918 to Palestine. There was a need for Jewish people to have self-defense processes. And so he developed his own manual for self-defense. And he spent a lot of time eventually in training the soldiers, training people to defend themselves. And his work is considered to be one of the foundation stones for Krav Maga, which is an Israeli martial art. He became acquainted with Jigoro Kano, the founder of judo, and he spent a lot of time studying judo for years in Paris. After he met with Kano, Kano left with him a 6th-degree black belt who Moshe studied judo with 7 days a week for years, until he finally had to leave Paris. He left Paris when the Germans came into Paris, and with him when he left Paris, he had the lab notes and he had heavy water from the Curie's laboratory, to which he was a first assistant. He was there when they got their Nobel Prize in chemistry. So he was a very, very gifted judo man. And years later, when he was training groups of people here in the United States to become practitioners, one of his students, a man named Dennis Leary, interviewed Moshe for the very first journal, the Feldenkrais Journal, that was put out here in the United States. And Dennis Leary was a very good practitioner of Aikido and a very, very highly refined practitioner of Tai Chi at that point in time. And this would be about 1976 or 77. And so Dennis interviewed Moshe about Chi. And I will quote Moshe directly. Ki, Chi, Prana, it's all bullshit. And what did he mean by that? Because he always had a way of looking at things that was very interesting. He said, if you go down to the docks and you try to do the work of a stevedore, and you do they have chi? And in other words, are they in the way that they can manipulate and lift heavy objects and move them around with relative ease, do they have special gifts? Do they have special powers? And to Moshe, there was no such thing as having special powers at that point in time. It was only acquiring a highly refined skill level. And so one of the things that he brought to point was that any human being can refine their skill level significantly, but they have to have the means by which to do that. Now, we have to talk then for a moment about what is chi. How is chi defined? Chi is considered to be life force. And the question would be then, how would we discover life force within us? And that question means that in order to discover life force, that we would have to refine our capabilities significantly. So how would you go about that? Can you guys hear the dog upstairs? Can you?
Yes, maybe you can.
I have
run fast and let it out.
I have a 10-week-old puppy, and my son promised he would be back by 6 o'clock so he would take care of her. And she's very upset. Oh, I don't know what to do. Anyway, she'll just have to be upset.
Yes, bring her in.
I can't. It would not be possible to do so. So what keeps us from living with what is inherent within us, the ability to experience ourselves in our life force? That would be our conditioning, wouldn't it? That would be our long-standing habits that we're really, really profoundly ingrained with. And we acquire our habits, first of all, when we're born by being in the field of gravity. And it takes a long time for us to apprentice ourselves to gravity. And none of us ever perfect our self-image, our movement image in gravity. It's always available for more and more refinement. Each of us are conditioned by the relationship we have with our family. We're conditioned by the culture that we live in and the society that we live in. And it doesn't take very long before the process of being engaged in life, it's not long before we begin to identify ourselves as that which we've experienced. And Moshe said very clearly at one point in time, we act in accordance with our self-image, and that self-image in turn governs the outcome of our every activity. So what keeps us from being able to explore and live in highly refined states of awareness or chi? The thing that keeps us from that, for the most part, is that we don't know how to practice. So what I would like to do is invite you guys to practice with me for a moment. Are any of you Feldenkrais practitioners? I know two of you are, I can see. So Christine is. Oh, hi, Christine. Anybody else? Carolyn, Cece a little bit, Dee, okay. Feldenkrais practitioners, people that have practiced Feldenkrais. So I thought I would take you on a little bit of an adventure into a way that a Feldenkrais practitioner would work. Is that okay for you guys? Would you be willing to engage with that? So all you're going to need to do is have a seat. And one of the things that's so interesting about Feldenkrais's work is that he's interested in how we perceive ourselves. And to be at the state within ourselves that you can sense the very first moment that you begin to intend action, and then to be able to inhibit action so that you can start and stop movement. And so there's a few things in our physiology that are useful for us. So that for every action that we intend, when we set a motor plan to within ourselves, and we begin to spread the innervation through ourselves, the thing that's very interesting is that the very, very first thing that happens is that the slowest twitch muscle fibers begin to organize our skeleton for action and for functioning. Yeah, the very first thing. And so if I asked you to begin to move your hand towards your forehead, stop. You've already started the movement. You don't even know that you started the movement, but you've already started the movement. And if you stop for a moment and listen really, really carefully, you can sense that your system began to prepare your skeleton to move. So would you please, just for a moment, cease everything completely and simply begin to notice the very first moment that you can sense your system beginning to engage your skeleton to move. So we're always working in this kind of moment, in this moment now, to sense what is taking place now and to sense how we go about engaging in the very first moment. Stop again for a moment. Leave that and take a moment and tune into what you experience with that moment of quietness, that moment in which what you had to do is you had to take something as a capacity you have from your prefrontal cortex, and you had to take this capacity and your capacity to attend to what do you do. Our prefrontal cortex, its major capacity is it has the ability to make distinctions. And we can't learn something until we can make distinctions. Yeah. So now, once again, begin to have the idea that instead of touching your forehead, you're going to scratch your chin. And stop again and notice you've already started. It's already begun. Yes? And so if you watch this and you watch this spreading that's taking place through yourself, and you can watch the preparation, which means the muscles that are closest to your skeleton begin to engage with the intention to move you in the process that you're moving. So by paying attention to this very precise moment now, you have the ability to perceive yourself, and you have the ability to begin to perceive your intentions. You have the ability to be in your senses, and you have the ability to actually watch how you engage in movement. And it's in this place that's between the perception and the intention, this moment of starting and stopping, that chi exists. It's in this place that you actually have choice, and you actually can begin to perceive something that is not regulated by the way that you've been conditioned to organize yourself. Does that make sense? Yes, no, maybe. Not so clear. Okay, so just for a moment, we're going to take this a little further. So just for the moment, will you please simply find a way to sit comfortably and simply do nothing other than take a moment and exhale. Exhale and simply wait. And what is the earliest moment that you can perceive the beginning of your breath rising? The very first movement of your breath, your inhalation beginning. exhale, wait, and perceive the very first movement that takes place within you. And if you were to point to the place where the movement begins, where would you point? Where would you touch? It would be someplace, probably where your diaphragm begins to move, or in your sternum, yes? So now, just for the moment, exhale and wait. And when your inhalation comes, can you please, for a moment, begin to sense the air coming across your lip and into your nostrils? And perhaps you can perceive which nostril is more capable of receiving your breath. And you take a moment and you draw your breath, and your breath passes through your nostril. It passes over the top of your palate, which means that your breath goes over the roof of your mouth. And then it begins to move backwards and down into your trachea. And you follow, you find it within yourself, if you can follow the sensory experience of the breath passing over the roof of your palate, into your trachea, into your bronchial tubes, and sense for yourself, which lung does your breath move into more freely? Exhale and wait, and watch the beginning of your inhalation. The air moving over your palate, into your nose, over your palate, down the back of your throat, over your, into your trachea. And you sense, does the right side of your chest, torso feel more, or the left? And just for the moment, inhale once into the side that feels more. And you can sense the breath going through the bronchial tubes into the brachii, it further and further into the lungs, until it's almost like you can sense the air coming into the alveoli, into the actual tissue in the lungs where the air exchanges. And just for the moment, you imagine for yourself that you exchange carbon dioxide for oxygen. You don't need to close a nostril. You can if you wish, but you don't need to close a nostril. It's not a yoga breath. And for the moment, find out if it's possible for you to sense when you fill your lung, how do you fill it? Do you fill it more forward or more backwards? Do you fill the top of your lung more or the bottom of your lung more? So for the moment, fill it in such a way that you have a sense that you fill your lung forward. The front of your lung, whichever is the lung that you breathe into most, fill it forward. So you exhale for a moment. You pause. You wait. And you observe the beginning of your breath. The air coming over your nostril, you begin to perceive in a way that you may have never perceived before, with a sense of delicacy and availability. The air going over your palate, into your trachea, into your one lung, and you fill the front of your lung. And the next time when you fill the back of your lung. And for a moment, every time you inhale, alternate between the front and the back. I'll be right back.
I think Dr. Jeff just went for his puppy. So he will be back with us in 2 minutes or less, hopefully.
So sorry.
Good news. Thank you. Welcome back, Dr. Jeff.
Yes, I just had to take care of her for a moment. So one of the things that you're doing when you do this is that there's a gap. You exhale and you wait. And there's a moment when you're waiting. In which you could wait for a much, much longer time. Exhale and wait, and do nothing in this moment. Nothing, nothing that you know. And find if it's possible for you to take this moment of exhaling and waiting. When the inhalation comes, you follow it. This time when it comes, you fill the front and the back of your lung in such a way that you do it in such a way that you do it without thinking with words, that your mind becomes quiet for a moment and you're simply in the state of perception. Wait. Do not let words appear. Inhibit the words from rising. Turn your attention to the sensation of your breath moving, your torso moving. Find within yourself the sense of dimension and space. When you're not bound by labeling your activities with words. Exhale and wait. And this time, when you breathe into your lung, take a moment to notice which side of your lung do you breathe into more freely? To the inside of your lung or the outside? Inhale into the side that's easiest for you, the inside or the outside. Like a balloon, you swell the side that's easiest. And the next time you swell the opposite side. And you see for yourself, because it's not obvious, it's not so well known to you to do this. You notice for yourself what it takes with your attention to actually perceive yourself and to actually organize yourself to make the new intention. When we study Tai Chi and yoga and Aikido and dance and any other movement activity, if we want to refine our skills, then we have to do it with our capacity to perceive differences. or else we'll bring the same habit forward over and over and over again. Now please breathe to the right and left. Inhale and breathe into your lung in such a way that you expand to the right and left. And then please breathe in such a way that you breathe forward and back. Fill the front and the back. And then alternate and fill the right and the left. Now please fill all four directions. Exhale and wait. And when you fill your lung, fill it in all four directions, forward and back, and right and left. And you can pay attention to what you're experiencing relative to your emotional state, relative to your mental state, relative to your state of acute attention and awakeness, alertness, awareness of your breath, awareness of your breath relative to being in the environment and in the world that you're in, in the world that we're all in, because you're not doing this independently. You're doing this in relationship to being a part of life and a part of the world. Now please take a moment and exhale and simply wait. And do absolutely nothing that you know. In Zen Buddhism, it would be called neti neti, not this, not that. Not anything that you would do in any way that you would label anything. And you could watch for yourself whether your mind wants to go into creating labels for this experience. What would happen to you if you would stop labeling and unlabel anything that you're thinking? So that you could simply attend to the state that you're in. Now please, for a moment, exhale and wait. And this time when you inhale, notice whether it's easier for you to fill the top of your lung or the bottom of your lung. So is it easier to fill the upper dome of your lung or the lower hemisphere, so to speak? So you inhale. And perhaps it's easier to fill the top. So you inhale in such a way that you fill the top of your lung. It's an interesting question as to how do you fill it? If you were to fill a balloon, what would happen would be, very interestingly, the pressure would be across the inner surface of the balloon, evenly distributed across the pressure, across the inner surface of the balloon. Can you fill the upper portion or the lower portion of your lung in such a way that you have a sense that the pressure comes into your lung and distributes evenly along the complete inner surface of your lung? Exhale and wait. And the next time, fill the other hemisphere. Was it the top or was it the bottom that you filled before? If you filled the top, fill the bottom. If you filled the bottom, fill the top. Please alternate. One time inhale and fill the top of your lung. The next time inhale and fill the lower hemisphere of your lung. You can trace the air coming over your lip, through your nose, over your nostrils, over your palate, down the back of your throat into your trachea. The air coming through the bronchial branches into your lungs. And take a moment, please, and swell the top and the bottom together. So you fill your lungs in all of the different dimensions. Upper to lower, just one lung. Just one lung. It's important to do this in such a way that we feel a profound contrast so that you can sense what takes place when you pay attention to yourself in a way that's non-habitual, in such a way that's novel for you. The most human elements of our brain, the executive function, it's interested in novelty, curiosity, spontaneity, and to be ability to make distinctions. So fill both the upper and the lower, then fill the front and the back, then fill side to side. And then fill in all directions. And there's some place within your lung that you can sense that's not quite as available to you. There may be some patch, some area, maybe in the upper corner, somewhere behind and lower that you can't quite find. Take a moment. Approach this area very slowly, very gently. And gradually, with your breath and your attention, bring this small area that's not so clear to yourself into being online, and observe for yourself the change that it takes in your torso to make this movement. So you really don't pull the air in. You change with your diaphragm, you change the movement of your ribs in such a way that you increase the internal surface area within your torso. It decreases the air pressure in your lungs, and the air simply seeps in. Can you become so quiet that you can now perceive without pulling the air the change in the movement in your torso that makes it so that you can sense your air seeping, just simply seeping in? Leave this for a moment and pause and rest. If you need to rest by sitting down or sitting back, then do whatever you need to pause and rest for a moment. Once I what's happening within yourself and your experience of your identity? With the attachment to I. What's happening to your sense of dimensionality? What's happened to your perception of the space within you and the space around you? Attune yourself now to the difference and the distinction between how it is that you sense your torso to the side that you've been paying attention to. And then will you please now attune your attention and make the first breath of bringing your breath into your other lung so that you sense the difference. You sense the distinction. And in just a few moments, would you please engage in the experiment or in the process of exploring how to bring this quality across that you found on the one side? How can you bring this quality across to the other side? Into your other lung, into your own perception of yourself. One way to do that is to inhale into the side that you explored thoroughly and sense it, and then wait for a moment without jumping into it. It's not a mathematical equation. It's not something that's done in rote. It's not gymnastic. Wait for a second. Give yourself plenty of time from with your perception to watch the motor system, your system planning and creating for yourself a new possibility of how to engage with your other side. Wait and watch. And make two or three breaths and gradually bring the movement across to your other side. Exhale and wait, and breathe into both lungs. Breathe into one side, exhale and wait, breathe into the other side. Alternate for a moment, and gradually make it so that you can breathe clearly, evenly, and easily with the quality that you would like to have for yourself, the absolute minimal disturbance to your breath. Observe the air seep in. Now please, for a moment, exhale, and when you exhale, exhale into a single point. You exhale, and as you exhale, you exhale, and you exhale, and you exhale, and you exhale into a single point within yourself. Like a singularity, into a single point. And you wait. And when you inhale, you invite your inhalation to expand universally, forwards and back, up and down, right and left, three-dimensionally, so that your inhalation expands in all directions. downwards through the floor, upwards past your head, behind you, in front of you, to the right and left, exploring in infinite directions your breath. And you can even imagine the beginning of the universe and the electromagnetic shock waves that held the key to all consciousness. And you can imagine yourself being able to tune into that life from which all consciousness arises. And sense for a moment, how is it to be in this experience of being in this state in which you can sense the beginning of consciousness? It's the beginning of your dreams. It's the beginning of beginnings. It's not bound by the way that you were trained in your life, conditioned in your life. It leaves a completely open doorway. Moshe Feldenkrais said that the potent human posture, a biologically fit human being, has the freedom to move in any direction without hesitation or preparation. The founder of Aikido, Moriye Hayashiba, said that in Aikido, there's no technique, only unlimited creativity. So what is it to be in the state from which unlimited creativity is available? Something spontaneous can emerge. So this is how we would go about looking for qi in the Feldenkrais method, which is to attend deeply to the moment and to find the space between our habits and what is present and possible within us. This is where we would find life. And I'll give you one last quote from Feldenkrais. He said, "Movement is life. Life without movement is unthinkable." And there's a deeper meaning to that movement. It's just not being mobile. But the deeper meaning is that if you live a life that's compulsive, it's not life. Life without movement is unthinkable. That means life without choice is unthinkable. So would anybody care to share a little bit about their experience of being in this single moment of this moment of being with your breath, being with one lung for a moment and watching it expand within you? And how would it be to go do your Tai Chi practice now, or your yoga practice? Or how would it be to engage in your meditation practice, or to go to your Aikido class from this quality? With this level of sensitivity to yourself, what would you be able to sense? So would someone care to jump in, share? It'd be nice to talk with someone.
Anyone that would like to share, please unmute your microphones.
You'll have to unmute yourself.
Hi, I won't leave you alone. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
This is Ruti. I'd rather not put the video on. I'm not distant, so it's more comfortable this way. Excuse me for that.
That's fine.
Okay. So first of all, thank you for the beautiful experience. And for me, this pause really brought me to a specific meditation I'm practicing that is actually bringing me to a different place than where I am physically, which is beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
It's always in the pause that you have the moment to reverse yourself out of your compulsion into something new.
Absolutely.
It's always in the pause that you can actually listen. Dr. Sylvia Lindinger-Sternhardt, you've raised your hand. Would you just open your microphone, please?
Dr. Sylvia, I will allow you to talk so you can share. Now you need to unmute your microphone.
Someone else while she's coming in?
Christine.
I can't read all the chats. I'm sorry, I can't read all the chats.
I cannot have the video. Oh, now I see it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for providing that. My experience was very intense. I really have to share that. So what was very intense was when it came to that corner, you know, where you say it in the other lung, that doesn't get so much air usually. I just felt so much compassion for my other lung, which doesn't get that much air, and that really touched me. I actually got some tears.
Yeah, beautiful. It's this level of exploration that we don't know that we don't know that we don't have this availability, and so to actually invest ourselves in these questions, mm-hmm. and to Moshe, when he started the training that I was in with him, he said, look, I have no notes. I'm going to create the environment for learning. And the way I'm going to do that is by asking you questions. And so what I did was I asked you a lot of questions. I gave you things that you had to find the resources within yourself to answer your own questions and to find for yourself. But now you see that you know the pathway into your potential. Yeah. Now anything within yourself that hasn't been observed can come to light and can become a part of your own self-image so that your whole self-image becomes more whole. And then the resources that you meet, because right now you meet the world with the resources that you had before the session. But now all of a sudden you realize, I could have another set of resources that I could be more compassionate for myself. I have something available within myself that I didn't know. And I'm beginning to know that I can find a way to know it. And stress and trauma are situations where you don't have the resources to meet the moment. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to develop people that are whole people, then they have to continue to find the resources to meet the moment. That means the whole image of themselves has to become more whole and capable. Feldenkrais' first students, when he started his work in Israel in the early 50s, were survivors of the camps who had nothing. And every single lesson, like this lesson, helped them find some element of themselves that they didn't have before, because they'd been completely depleted of any sense of self-image. And so every lesson he taught, and there was something in the matrix of movements that continued to help them find a renewed self-image for themselves.
Yeah. It really touches me because I'm originally from Austria, you know, and I know the history of this cruel time, you know, of the Holocaust very well. And yes. Currently I'm working with the native people on their historical trauma. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to see you in such a state of compassion for yourself. It's beautiful, really.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think.
Thank you, Dr. Sylvia. Dr. Jeff, just to cue you, we can go on Q&A if anybody have questions. I still don't have any Q&A so far, but if you have any questions for Dr. Jeff, please feel free to write it down on the Q&A, and then we will go through each question. You can definitely ask. Yes, go ahead.
I'm just interested in the training. I'm interested in the training. How long that is. I have heard about it, you know, but I have not really digged into it. I'm just wondering how that looks like, how long that takes. If you can share a little bit about that training.
The training process is generally a four-year process to become a practitioner. And you develop competence in this aspect of teaching these classes of awareness through movement, which there is a matrix process of that each lesson provides you with a way of expanding some element of the way that you imagine yourself to be, all relative to being in the world of gravity and relative to our culture. And so you learn the art of teaching awareness through movement, and then you learn how to work with people privately in a one-to-one session that's called functional integration. And usually the trainings take place over about 4 years of time. And to develop, to become a practitioner, to be a teacher of this work. And one of the things that I'm really interested in is that this work has never been studied, for example, with the Mind and Life people who have spent so much time studying mindfulness meditation or the effects of Tai Chi and yoga. And there's so much research these days into the effects of using psychedelics for the change of space, the internal dimension, the ego disillusion, the change of the default mode, the way we perceive ourselves, default mode network, the way we maintain our perception. There's never been any study done in this work yet. And I'm hoping at some point in time, because this work has profound implications for physical dignity, for helping physical integrity, helping people overcome injuries, but with their emotional dignity to help them come to terms with the wounds that they've experienced emotionally, and to become healthy, which means to have the resources to meet a changing world and thrive. That's the most important part, is that they actually come to the point where they can thrive. And all of this is still related to how do I find the composure within myself to have a sense of my own life force? That I'm directed by my own life force. I'm not directed by the conditions that I was raised in. And I bring that uniqueness of myself to life.
Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Any other questions?
Thank you, Dr. Jeff. So we do have a last question. And we have 2 minutes before we wrap up. What do you think is the difference between ki and intention, says Ayaryona?
So much of what we've, when I was training in Aikido and people were learning to how to have unbendable arms, and they were flowing ki, and they were, you know, when Moshe, you know, was talking about it, everything, ki, chi, prana, it's all bullshit. It really comes down to how refined can you be with your skill level. And of course, if you're with a highly, highly skilled practitioner of Tai Chi or Aikido or anything, then there's a way in which they act in such a way that there is absolutely the minimal amount of what they need in the moment for the outcome of the activity. The moment that the person moves into trying, then they bring the force into the musculature that has a sense of the will in it, and the freedom is lost. So in this process of being in a ki state or in a chi state, or then one simply, the one's intention is carried out without bringing in the past or the will. And it's hard to imagine that, but if you watch the most beautiful Tai Chi, you sense that the activities are done with such an evenness and such a smoothness that the distribution of tone within the practitioner is that there's absolutely nothing changes. The whole of the self is organized so that the tone is proportional within them, and they move with such an elegance and such an ease that it's completely fluid. So in a martial setting, the whole activity takes place without the imposition of my idea of how I should treat you, but my moment is a shared moment, and you find yourself hurting yourself. The force just your own force gets used with you, and Anna's saying it's time to go.
Thank you.
Your own force is used against you.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Jeff. Thank you so much. I'm taking great insights with me after this session, and I'm sure that you all as well. I invite you to the next session in the channel. We also have the coffee breaks, the Facebook group channel. Please join them. All the links are in the chat. We will roll the video from our sponsor, Evolve, Move and Play, right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and healing arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Thank you. And to see everything that Dr. Jeff has to offer, you can check the website is insidemoves.com.
.org.
And the links are on the chat. Yes?
It's .org. O-R-G.
Oh, .org. My apologies. Insidemoves.org. Yeah. And the full content of the conference has had this 50% discount by purchasing. You're not just supporting yourself, but you're also supporting all the community that made this possible and to make accessible this for everybody that has doesn't have the means to purchase it. Finally, Dr. Jeff, just to wrap up, 1 minute, two words. What is your top tip on how to be embodied?
Ask deep questions. It's all about the questions, and it's all about being in novel questions. So it's not being in any practice that you know. The practice in itself is to perfect the practice, which is ask questions, but you have to know what questions to ask.
Deep questions.
Deep questions.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff.
Turn your attention inward.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a huge pleasure having you all in this session. And we hope to see you in the next session as well. And thank you, Dr. Jeff. It was delightful to having you here. Looking forward to seeing you.
I've enjoyed being with all of you. I would wish I had more time to meet you all and to actually sit and talk. I'm teaching every Wednesday and Thursday. You can find it on my website. I teach awareness through movement. So you're come around.
Thank you. Thank you all. Bye-bye.